Welcome to Hyperlocal, a podcast dedicated to inspiring economic developers, job creators, and community champions. I'm your host, Mason Ainsworth, and our mission is to bring you real-world stories, proven strategies, and game-changing projects using local solutions and global perspectives. In today's episode, we are switching things up. We are going to try to give you one of those light bulb moments. And today's is all about the Bright Ideas Competition, hosted by the Economic Developers Council of Ontario. Now, just before I get too far, I want to let you know registration is now open. You can hit pause right now and go to the EDCO website, as long as you're a member, at edco.on.ca. You can go to the Professional Development drop-down menu and click the Bright Ideas Competition to learn more, to register, and get all the details. I will also link that information for you in the show notes. So if you want to keep listening and you don't want to pause now, that is okay too. But today we have an excellent episode. We are for the first time having two different interviews at once. Pretty awesome, pretty excited, and really looking forward to the content. The two incredible people we have are former Bright Ideas winners, one from the most recent competition and one from the first ever Bright Ideas competition. They are going to share their journey with you, what they learned, and why you should sign up this coming year. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to share some exciting news. Hyperlocal just leveled up and is now supported by Storied Places Media, which specializes in producing audio and video podcasts for economic development organizations. Their all-inclusive packages are the way to go. Your Storied Places will basically do everything for you, from providing a host that understands economic development to editing the episodes for you and even writing your social media posts. Or if you have a person or a team that wants to take the lead, Storied Places can fill in the gaps and keep them on track. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, but don't have the time or the know-how, now is the time to get started. And Storied Places Media can help. Learn more about their services and clients at storiedplaces.ca. Now, let's get into it. Welcome, folks. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Hyperlocal today. And thank you so much to our guests. We have two amazing folks that we're going to get into their stories and a little bit about a very exciting topic today. So today with me, I've got Sashmita and Laura. This is my first time interviewing two people at the same time, so definitely bear with me. But really happy to have you both here, and we're going to kind of change things up a bit. As I mentioned previously, we've got a really exciting topic, which is the Bright Ideas Competition. So I'm not sure if anybody in particular wants to start off, but maybe introduce yourself, what you're doing right now, and maybe something cool you've done in the past. And then what's your connection to the Bright Ideas Competition? Sashmita, if you want to start us off.
For sure. Thank you so much, Mason, for having me here. And it's so nice to see you and Laura. So hi, everyone. I am Sashmita Thirumalaivasan. I work at the intersection of economic development and accelerator programming, where I mostly work with startups, entrepreneurs, and small businesses, helping them grow and scale across Ontario. Most of my experience comes from working in the accelerator programming space, where I've worked with more than 400 startups and businesses. But in my recent role, I had an opportunity to work on a municipally funded business attraction and retention program, which was my first slice into economic development, which kind of prompted me to learn more about economic development and policies surrounded it, which is how I came across Economic Developers Council of Ontario, EDCO, and I attended their conference for the first time in 2025. And I saw three amazing teams pitch their ideas, and the competition was called Bright Ideas. I was really intrigued by that, and I wanted to know more. And I remember signing up the same day for the competition. And yeah, a little sneak peek, in 2026, I was fortunate enough to participate and win with my teammates, Laura and Jessica. I think I'll talk about my team, my project a little bit more. But for me, the entire experience was really great. And to be here to promote about the program and to talk more about the Bright Ideas Competition, I'm really excited. And as a transitioning economic development professional, this had a really great positive impact on my career. expanded my network. I found and met some really great folks throughout the project timeline and also through EDCO. So yeah, like it was an interesting opportunity for me to see the challenges that I see every day the businesses face and to convert them into a transferable, scalable solution. So it really, I'm really excited to talk a little bit more about that.
Cool. I think that is so cool, Sajrina. And I didn't realize, you know, 400 startups and businesses that you worked with, that is a phenomenal experience, especially in regards to business retention and expansion. I think that's extremely relevant in economic development. So I think you're going to bring a lot to the table there. And then again, I just wanted to say congratulations on your Bright Ideas victory. I think it's super exciting and excited to hear a little bit more about that a bit later. Laura.
Thanks, Mason. And thanks for having us here today. I'm so excited to talk with you and to work with Sajrina as well. So I would say going way back, my career in economic development started with a job at the Aurelia Area CDC. So I started on a project called it was about the out-migration of rural youth. So trying to get rural youth to come back to our community after they go to the big city for university. So that's really where I started. I then went to university for land use planning and was able to jump into a career in land use planning when I joined a school board in Simcoe County. And I went from there to the city of Aurelia, worked with the city of Aurelia for about 10 years, and then finally landed here with the town of Innisfil managing the economic development office. So in terms of what I do at the town of Innisfil, I oversee the economic development portfolio, which includes marketing, business retention expansion, investment attraction, as well as our DMZ Innisfil Business Accelerator. So that's been a really great opportunity to support entrepreneurs, as well as some of our more traditional businesses like manufacturers as well. In terms of the Bright Ideas competition, back in 2019, so we're talking about 7 years ago, when they first launched the program, and I just remember thinking, what a cool opportunity to explore an innovative idea outside of my day-to-day and really spend some time thinking about those big problems. So that's how I got involved back in 2019. And I was the first person to be acknowledged as a winner through that competition, myself and Jess Linthorne, who is my partner, and we built a municipal toolkit. So I'm really excited to be doing this because I think the Bright Ideas competition is really great personal experience, but it also opened a lot of doors for me.
Very cool. I think that's awesome. And just full shout out to Jess. We had her as a guest on the podcast already, which was really exciting. And it's cool when I look back and I see folks like yourself, Laura, especially, and Jess, who Jess is now in at the Nuclear Innovation Institute. And it's wild when people get involved with the competition and kind of where they end up and those intersections and how that ecosystem really bridges out in the future. I think that's so phenomenal. And it's always exciting to see where people end up and their contribution, not only to where they are, but to society. So now diving a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole, now that we've got a bit of an idea of who you folks are and such, Sajrina, you recently, as you mentioned, you competed and won at the competition. I'm curious for you, especially because it was so recent, what was that experience like? Can you tell us a little bit about how that works? And then what did you learn throughout the process, not only with your actual project itself, but also I would say like on a personal and like a team dynamic side? And then also, is there anything you would kind of pass on or where you see that that work that you did is going to have like a direct impact on your work in the future, wherever you end up?
Absolutely. I would love to talk about my experience. Like I mentioned, yes, my team was fortunate enough to win. It was a team effort. I would like to mention the names as well. I worked with Lauren from Town of Innisfil. So she's the economic development champion there. And also Jessica Reiners, who is the rural economic development specialist at Investorum. So I would like to give a little bit of a story of how I signed up and why I signed up. Like I said, I had like 5 years of experience working in the accelerator and innovation space, working closely with startups. But when I got this opportunity to work under the municipally funded role is only when I understood how different levels of government are also invested in innovation and entrepreneurship, which opened a new lens to me. And I was also new to Toronto. I moved to Toronto in 2024. I was living in Edmonton until then. So I was very much familiar with the Alberta innovation ecosystem, but I was very new to Toronto. So at my first EDCO conference, I saw this great opportunity to work with economic development professionals and learn from them. I was also enrolled in the local economic development certificate, where I was learning a lot about economic development, but it was all theory. And I assumed that this competition would give me a great sense of practicing all the theory that I've been learning. And I was absolutely right. So when you sign up for this competition, you sign up as an individual. That's exactly what I did. I did not have a team before. So you sign up as an individual and then the EDCO team forms a team for you. So you could be matched up with different economic development professionals across Ontario. And you're going to be matched up with two different professionals and you're going to work as a team of three, which I thought was really good because I immediately connected with two ECDA professionals who were working in two amazing teams. And I get to learn a lot from them as well.
I didn't realize that about you, that you came over from Alberta. I think that cross-provincial experience is so good in working through different ecosystems and such, because I know you mentioned at the beginning learning about the different levels of government and how they interact, but also I think you bring a lot to the table with the difference between provinces, because sometimes they can be pretty unique, and so I'm sure you brought a lot through that experience as well to your team.
Yeah. As a team together, we built the idea from ground up. We were given an opportunity to interact with that team, come up with a couple of project ideas, test what is best for the competition. And I liked how structured the program was. We were exactly given what were our expectations and when they were expected to be submitted. There were different things that need to be submitted. For example, the project outline, the proposal, 1-minute pitch, and also the final report. And it was communicated clearly, and which made our life also a little bit easier because all the team members, we had a full-time job, but we were interested in this project. And the project that we worked on was Interprovincial Export Circle. Like, as someone like me who worked closely with businesses to help them grow and scale, I saw the real problem where they wanted to expand provincially, but they were facing a lot more challenges than they expected. And my teammates, who are part of economic development professionals, who were also focused on helping businesses scale interprovincially, they didn't fully understand what actually businesses face in terms of barrier. So for us, it was a great cross collaboration. I was able to bring in the experience that the businesses were facing on a day-to-day basis because I interact with founders on an everyday basis. And my teammates had an idea of what it looks like on a policy level scale, like what needs to change at a system level to make it easier for businesses. And I think we worked really well as a team in sharing these experiences that we all had. And together we built a toolkit. When we thought about the project outcome, we really wanted to build something that was easy for the ECDA officers to take and implement it as soon as possible. We didn't want to just provide more information, more theory to them. We wanted to say, okay, this is a scalable solution. It's a framework. You can get it. You can actually start working on it tomorrow. Like, that was the idea and vision that we had in mind. And we were able to do that. And also in terms of experience, I think Bright Ideas Competition gave me different opportunities to improve my skill set that I already had. For example, research, creating an entire project lifecycle, creating project timelines, interacting with different networks, understanding who would be the strategic contacts and who we need to have follow-up conversations with, how to draft a survey, how to avoid biases in survey questions. There was so much nuances that we learned throughout the process. And I think it's a great opportunity for anyone, especially someone who's an aspiring economic development professional or someone who's already an economic development professional, but who wants to brush up their skills and who wants to see a full project come to fruition. I think that would be a great experience. And in terms of how I see it aligning in my future work, as I said, it definitely expanded the network. We connected with 30-something economic development organizations. So I have a network in each organization. We had one-on-one conversations with folks. We presented the idea at the conference and many, many organizations came to us and spoke afterwards, expressing interest and wanting to know more about our project. So for someone like me who is waiting to get connected to people, this opened up a lot of doors and it was very easy for me to connect with folks, which I'm very grateful for. And I think it's a great opportunity for anyone who's looking to do the same.
Cool. I think that's very beautifully well put. And I love the toolkits. I got to say, I think I played around with the app that you folks had under the QR code and like super interesting stuff. And it's funny because I think when I look back in history from what I've been told, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, but I think you folks are the ones who kind of started the toolkit craze back in 2019 in the first competition. Is that right?
Well, we certainly didn't start it as a whole, but maybe with Bright Ideas, we did really like the idea of a toolkit because we really saw the opportunity of Bright Ideas to take an idea that we were interested in, but also make it usable and something that could be replicated across other municipalities in Ontario. So I think just in general, I think toolkits are a really good way of doing that. And I also think it's great, like the industry as a whole, economic development, we're such a sharing and collaborative group. We're willing to share the ideas we have and not hoard that knowledge. So I think toolkits are a really easy way to take somebody's idea and then scale it across other communities. So yeah, I would say just in terms of my experience, one of the things that really attracted me to it was the ability to be creative in a way that I couldn't do in my day-to-day job. And finding opportunities, again, for us to build something locally that could be scaled across the province and Canada, ideally. So my team in 2019, we built a municipal innovation toolkit. And what drove that was working in a municipal setting, at times there are councils who can be a little bit more risk averse because we're not working with their own money. We're working with taxpayer money. So we have to be really responsible. But I think the entrepreneurs, for example, the DMZ Innisfil program or even Tree Frog Accelerator from Shashmita's example is they have to take risks in order to be bold and make big change. So the municipal innovation toolkit that we built was designed to look at how are other municipalities taking those bold steps. We looked at everything from problem definition, how do we define a problem, to looking at case studies and utilizing what other people are doing and leveraging those opportunities. And then looking at different techniques and best practices that other municipalities have used. So that was really where our work was focused. I would say the immediate impact of the experience is that it gave us exposure that was really helpful for networking. So when you go to a conference, it can be intimidating, especially as a young or emerging professional, to go up and approach people that you don't know. But being able to present at a conference like EDCO, you have people approach you after to say, I loved your idea. Can we talk about this? So that was a really cool and unexpected outcome of participating in that competition. I'll just give one example. I was later approached to attend a brownfield conference. So you have all these soil scientists and engineers, and then there's me, an economic developer. But I was able to talk about how, like in Ontario, we could better leverage brownfield sites to increase investment attraction opportunities. I wouldn't have had that opportunity had I not gone to Bright Ideas. So I think that that's one unexpected outcome. I would say the long-term outcome of my involvement in Bright Ideas is that it really solidified the idea that you have to intentionally make time to innovate. And what I mean by that is so many economic development professionals are putting out fires every day. If you ask people how they're doing, they often answer with busy. And I think there's an expectation that how are you doing these innovative things? Where do you find the time? And I think the answer lies in that question, that you find the time. You have to set aside that time. For me, I have the flexibility with Innisfil's flex work policy that I set aside every other Friday. So that's my day to work on courses, to work on the big picture stuff. It's Friday today, so I'm looking at some of my big projects. So I think that that's a big thing that showed me. So I also think it gave me kind of that entrepreneurial lens when looking at municipal and public sector projects in terms of thinking it as a business, being more willing to take risks. One anecdotal share is that I think I'm a very creative person just in life. I like art, reading, writing, photography, but I'm also very pragmatic. So when I'm building these ideas, I tend to think right through the implementation. I think about all the steps along the way to be like, here's my idea and here's what it looks like when it's done. I think through the Bright Ideas project, I learned that it's possible to accomplish much more than that than I initially contemplated. So now when I come up with an idea or innovative idea, I want to execute it, I prove that it works on a small scale. I kind of apply what I call an aperture test. So if you think about for non-photographers in a camera, the larger your aperture, the more light you let in. So when I apply my aperture test, I look at the solution I've implemented as a small application, but then I think about the scaling nature of that. And I think, okay, if this bought me more time just at a departmental level, how can we apply that across the corporation or across the organization I'm working with to really scale those solutions into a much bigger picture? So I think that was really helpful component of being part of the Bright Ideas competition. And that's something that to this day, I've applied to my role. So for example, if I have solutions in the economic development department, I don't keep it to the economic development department. I work cross-departmentally with my peers to see how we can scale those solutions. We recently did that through a project called the Municipal Heights Investment Readiness Project. And we're working together with other departments to put into practice some really innovative approaches to things like municipal drainage problems. So I think that's something that stuck with me since I did that competition a number of years ago.
I love that. I think that's so interesting. And if I'm looking down, it's because I'm taking some notes of what you folks are saying. And I really like, I've got this like triple underlined on my sheet here, but what you said, Laura, about intentionally making time to innovate, I think that's so crucial. Just like the amount of backlog that is out there in the municipal sector, it is so hard to just like come up and take a breath at work sometimes, let alone take some time aside to think about like, hey, you know, can we maybe do things differently? Can we innovate this? Can we take something that's working here and maybe bring it across the corporation? I think is really good and good advice. And you know, so good that, you know, companies like Google and others are actually like taking a certain percentage of the workforce time and saying, hey, we want you to go and come up with new ideas and think about things differently. So I think that's really good. And I hope that a lot of other folks listening and maybe some elected folks down the road decide to implement that more in their municipalities, because I think we'd move a bit further. And I like that aperture test. I'm not a photographer myself, so I wasn't familiar with that, but I think that's a really cool idea to bring things up. And very similar to your experience, I think when I go back to, oh my goodness, now what was it, 2024, I think when I was in the competition, we were, you know, fortunate enough to get through and to win and to get our idea talked about by quite a few folks, that it was a really exciting experience. And I think just the development of how do you think about things, and then kind of similar to what you said about, you know, sometimes you think of it as like, oh, it's going to do X, Y, and Z. But then when you actually get into it more, you see like, holy macro, like this can actually turn into so many other things. And even a couple examples, I mentioned the brownfield, and Sajmita and I, we met after her presentation and I came up and we had an awesome chat. And it's things like that that really, you're not sure where those are going to go down the road and where you're going to see these people in years in the future. And I know, just tying things back, I know you had a funny networking story, Laura, that you wanted to share about how you and I met.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think that networking is a really key opportunity that came out of Bright Ideas. And to your point, you never know where these relationships are going to lead. So if I think way back, Mason, and I'm not going to tell us how many years because it will age both of us. I remember when you were a student with BOSS, which was the Business Aurelia Student Society. And you're working at, I believe, a local conference center. And I was there with, I think it was the Aurelia Manufacturers Association at the time, their AGM. And I just remember you popping by and you were doing your job. So you were supporting some of the folks at the table. But then you turned to me and you said, hi, I'm Mason Ainsworth. I'm a student with Lakehead and I work with the Student Society and we're working on business proposals and business ideas. I just wanted to introduce myself. And it's so cool because since that time, I've seen you become an active member of council. I've seen you work on the provincial level. I've seen all the work that you're doing now in economic development. So you never know where those relationships are going to take you. And from a Bright Ideas perspective, I also think this is where all us nerds are, these municipal nerds.
All I could think of when you were talking, I was like, oh my God, I really went and did that. Like, I'm such a nerd. Well, that's okay.
But you stood out because of that. And I will say, connecting to my previous, you know, line of thinking, if we look at it in an office setting, I always say, make sure that you look up from the desk from time to time, because we get so caught up in the day to day. If you were just doing your job at that time and not looking up and ahead to where you wanted to be, you would have just done the job that you were doing. But you had that forethought to say, hey, here's an opportunity. She's involved in a local business organization. I'm going to take a step and just introduce myself. And I think that's such a great, you're a great role model in that way, and that you really do reach out to people. You're very well connected. And I think it's because you're bold in that regard. And I would encourage others to reach out. I know that there's people who maybe won't make a phone call to somebody who's unfamiliar to them, but that's what's so great about the economic development industry as a whole. Like, we love talking about this stuff. So call me. If you have ideas, call me. I know you're the same. So yeah. So I think back to that time, Mason, and see how you've grown from where you are. I think probably a big piece of that is your networking skills.
Cool. Well, I'll make sure to quote that on my resume, Laura Thompson. It says I'm a networking pro. But no, in all seriousness, Laura, that really means a lot to me. And I've always really valued our relationship over the years and from different places, from then to like my time with council when you were at the City of Vermilion. I know I said this jokingly before, but I do say this, we need more Laura Thompsons in the world. And I think that the Bright Ideas competition really brings a lot of folks like Sajmita together and those types of people who are very, like, I would say Laura-esque and the way of thinking about things and explaining things. So just really humbled by what you said and really appreciate that. And yeah, I think the more people we can get involved with competitions like the Bright Ideas competition and build that network of people, it just really creates those opportunities to actually make a larger impact in the world. Because sometimes you have 95% of the problem solved, but you're just missing that little piece. And sometimes that's just a phone call to somebody or running into somebody at a conference. And then it just like all clicks together. And then you're able to help some folks out, whether that's business with interprovincial trade, like you did, Sajmita, or to different areas about brownfield redevelopment, to like artificial intelligence. And if folks do want to see more of these projects, they're actually all on the EDCO website and all the past submissions from everybody, not just the winners. And there is a ton of great resources and information there. And that's the one thing that Lori alluded to this a bit before, but they're out there for everybody and they're not behind a paywall. Like, it's free. Like, people can go and read these reports and get inspired and have ideas about, hey, how can I implement something like this in my community? So I think it's a really powerful conference. And I know we've touched on this a little bit, but I will just ask you both in a little bit more directly. Why would you recommend to somebody that you chat with to get involved in the Bright Ideas competition?
That is a great question. And I would like to start with, I have participated in a lot of professional development activities. And I feel like Bright Ideas gives you a very unique platform to refresh your skills, not just technical skills, which I talked about, conducting a research, coming up with a hypothesis, like creating a survey without biases and understanding the entire project life cycle, writing a report and all of that, which is all like technical skills, which you would definitely improve. But also more than that, like soft skills, like communication skills, because we had to present our project in front of like 200 something folks, which was really nerve-wracking. So public speaking and creating slides, and it has to be interesting and innovative and all of those. And also communicating clearly, even when you're sending an email asking for someone to fill up the survey, you can't send like 5 paragraphs explaining your project. You have to clearly communicate that in 2 lines and tell them why it is important for them to participate and what would they get out of it by participating in that survey. So this is something that I was able to develop, and also creating the survey, like how can we didn't want the survey to be 30 minutes long. We wanted to capture the most crucial information. So like skill development is the major piece, which I would encourage folks to sign up for Bright competition. And apart from that, the other thing that Laura touched upon, she said that she wanted to be creative and she found this as a way to be more creative outside of the 9-to-5, which is exactly how I felt as well. Because in my 9-to-5, where I was working at the accelerator programs, I felt like there was a ceiling of the support that we could give to entrepreneurs. And I wanted to explore, okay, what other policy changes would make things better for startups? And for me to imagine that, I had to get out of the space that I was working in and interact with economic development officers who do that for a living, who do policies and who understands system level thinking. And for me, that exposure did so much more in understanding how these two ecosystems can come together in providing the best support to entrepreneurs and small businesses. And third of all, I really didn't understand how helpful and friendly public sector folks are. The moment we said, hey, we need your help, fill up the survey, everyone responded positively to it. They were more than happy to share what they were working on, their knowledge on the subject. Like, they didn't stop by just participating in the survey. They also said, oh, we would love to follow up on an interview. We would love to talk more. We would love to share more. They would love to share what challenges we are facing. We did something in the past similar to this, but it didn't work, and we would want to share why. And For me, that was really shocking. Like with my experience in the private sector world, it was not this transparent. So that was a really good learning experience for me, learning from other folks and where it feels like this is how we have to be building solutions and frameworks, like Laura said, like building a toolkit which is open and which is transparent so that every region across Ontario or across Canada can learn from one another. It was a great opportunity for me to network. So these are the three main reasons why I would encourage someone to participate. Like if they're looking to work on any one of these segments, then this is a great opportunity. And also finally, time management, because quite a bit of work, but it was really fulfilling at the end of it because I was able to see a project from the start to completion and we were able to see what would a pilot look like. And the entire life cycle within the timeline of the Bright Ideas competition was extremely satisfying. So if someone is looking for that, to get that satisfaction, this would be the best avenue to test that. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer. Reach out to me in LinkedIn. I'm happy to share my experience, my knowledge and all of that as well. But I would love to see more folks signing up and I would love to see folks working on more crucial projects, project ideas as well. Yeah, that would be my 2 cents.
Perfect. I really appreciate you taking the time to share that. And over to you, Laura, same question. Why would you recommend that somebody would sign up for the program?
Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say is it's so much fun. Like you get to explore a really innovative concept that can be really impactful and implemented in the real world. So it's fun, I would say, is the first thing. The second thing I would say is just building critical thinking skills. So with the rise of AI and the rise of all these related tools that you can use to do your thinking for you, I think that this is a really cool opportunity to think for yourself. Think about how these things are impacting your community and the impact you can make. And I also think that this is a skill set we do need to continue to build. I don't think that we can use ChatGPT to solve our economic issues, especially when we're having to pivot. The things that worked in the past aren't necessarily working now. You know, people were chasing smokestacks. And then when I entered the industry, people were chasing call centers. And then they were chasing Amazon and distribution warehouses. Now, data centers, I think critical thinking is really needed to understand we can't always do what everybody else is doing or what we've done in the past. We need to be able to think for ourselves and what's best for our communities. So I think the critical thinking. And then I think the third thing I'll just mention is just as an economic developer, we really do need to work cross-departmentally to achieve our goals. I can only do so much in terms of investment attraction before it's dependent on the work of my peers in planning and engineering or our partner utilities at Empower and Services. So I think being able to work collaboratively on a team through something like Bright Ideas is giving you really useful tools when you're going to need to broach those same communication patterns, as Shashmita said, in terms of the communication being super critical. It'll help build that skill set up for the future. If I think about other benefits in terms of why get involved, you're surrounded by change makers and thought leaders. And again, back to being a municipal geek, I just think, why not do that? Like, I think it's a lot of fun. And just to be able to connect with those people and do what you're passionate about doing, it's a really great opportunity. I will say for our team, at the Town of Innisfil Economic Development Office, we've now had Lauren McCackern, who was on Shashmita's team and won for the 2025 competition, is the third winner. So there's myself, but also Kate Quigley, who was an award winner in 2024. So it's a lot of fun and it allows your team to innovate together and support the organization that you're working in and the community that you're working in.
I love that. And yeah, so Kate was on my team. She was great. And Preya as well from Collingwood, but formerly Aurelia. And it's great the relationships you build. I got to say, like, I feel bad for Preya because I'm constantly reaching out to her and we're chit-chatting about different items and stuff. But no, in all seriousness, the relationships you build, especially with your team, I think are phenomenal. And just on that point, Laura, because that was something I was going to ask you about as well, because you do have two other folks who have been in the competition and won. What is that like secret sauce in Innisfil that is getting these really innovative folks to go forward, to get involved in the competition? Is that something where you talk to your team and you say like, hey, you know, I've had this great experience in the future. You know, I'm really supportive of you folks if you want to go and get involved with something like this. And then to folks who are listening for other municipalities or ECDEB organizations. What would you say to them in regards to kind of promoting from within and getting folks to get involved?
I would say in Innisfil, if we had a secret sauce to our team's success, I would say it's that we spent a lot of time looking at our team values. And I won't throw out all of them because it's something that was very personal to us and we built them together. But one of those team values is recognizing and supporting the celebration of our team members. Whether it's Lauren going to do for Bright Ideas competition or Yelmer doing something exciting on the DMZ Innisfil front, we're there for each other. We support each other both in our wins and our failures. And that allows us safety to try new things because we're not embarrassed to do it. I'll say at the town of Innisfil, I think just as a culture, we have a really good team culture. Most of the departments do team huddles, which is an opportunity to get to know your peers on a personal level. So on our team, in the Innisfil Ethnic Development team, we've done things like we took a Brazilian jiu-jitsu course together as one of our huddles. And let me tell you, we learned stuff about each other real quick during that class. We've done escape rooms. So I think it's about, you know, as you build those personal relationships, you're much more likely to have trust in each other and support each other. So I think that that's probably our secret sauce, is just our team culture.
I love that. And Sajmita, looking forward into the future, I'm curious your thoughts. Let's say if you were in the competition down the road or you were mentoring somebody who's involved, as of today, what do you think would be a cool idea for them to maybe explore? Or maybe something that you were thinking of that you didn't get the opportunity to?
Oh, yeah. This is a great question. And I feel like Laura might have better answers. But one topic that I'm definitely interested in is trying to understand how we can connect national level economic development strategies to what's actually happening at a local level. Because when I follow news on all these like federal level investments and strategic priorities that they are focusing on, like, are they thinking about, does the local economic development teams have the infrastructure to implement any of those areas? Like, I wonder what is the gap and how can we connect the gap and how can we close the problem would be a great opportunity to dive into. Because I see that there could be a potential disconnect because it is difficult to understand what is happening in every local economy and come up with a national level strategy that aligns with every single local economy. But now that we know what our national strategy is looking like, how can we help the local level active teams to work on the national strategy? Something that would be very interesting to look at. And as someone who has worked with startups, like 400 plus startups, I feel like there's always a disconnect between what startups and founders actually need on a day-to-day basis and what resources are available for them. That disconnect could be for various different reasons, for one reason being constant change in the innovation landscape. With AI upcoming, different businesses face different challenges in terms of scaling, even existing, and also the change of talent. Again, with AI, the talent landscape is changing constantly. So trying to map all of these ever-changing variations to our national strategy and see that, do we still have the infrastructure to support the overall outcome? If not, then how can we get there, right? If the infrastructure is lacking, then what we need to do now to get that infrastructure in the next couple of years would be a good space to look at. I would love to see if any of the team is working on this idea or something similar to this, because that would be very interesting to see.
Very cool. That's exciting. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And Laura, I'll pass the same question over to you. What do you think would be a cool idea for the groups this year leading into next year?
I think that there's so many pressing issues right now. So there's a lot of ideas. I love just touching on what Sajmita mentioned is in terms of thinking kind of globally, acting locally. I do think that in light of the changing economic landscape that we're seeing and the current lack of vacant land across Canada, which I think last time I checked was around 2 or 3%, but it's a very low rate of fully serviced industrial land available. There's increasing competition for that land. And then add on to that, that advancements in automation mean that we're seeing a number of large employers increasing the footprints of their facilities while at the same time reducing the number of employees. I can see that providing value from a productivity and GDP standpoint, but I can't help but wonder about the long-term impacts of this type of growth on the community itself. I think most recently, thinking about the massive increase in the amount of data centers that are looking at Canada as a place for growth, And when we look at the economic impacts of those, it starts to raise challenging questions for a community. If you only have so many lands for employment and the uses coming in are not generating employment, how do we manage that? So I'd love to see somebody tackle how are communities balancing this and how are we exploring sustainable and ethical growth in relation to these issues that are emerging?
I love that. And I'm going to try not to go down the rabbit hole here, but I just wanted to say on what you were saying. So we had this presentation I did for a class the other day with a partner. And one of the subjects we were talking about, because we were talking about policy and innovation and economic development and how that all interconnects together. And there was this really cool article, and it's a report as well, and it's about moonshot innovation. So not sure if you folks have heard about that or looked into it at all, but it's similar to what you said about this idea of why are we actually doing these things and what are the actual goals that we should be moving towards? And when we look historically at like, oh yeah, we're going to do this because it's going to increase the GDP. Awesome. Not saying that that's not a good thing, or it's going to create X amount of jobs. Awesome. But should these actually be the things that we're working towards? Or is it, hey, we want to have higher quality jobs, or we want to solve this big problem? And going back to someone else I've interviewed, which we haven't put out the episode yet, but coming down the road, a guy named Paul, and Paul's big thing is asking this question of to what end? Do we want to have this AI center within our community where there's no employees, but it's taking up a big space and it's paying us property taxes, which, hey, like taxes are great. We use taxes to put towards other things, but maybe is that the best use, especially as you said, Laura, with like only having 2 or 3% of the land that's actually serviced, like what do we actually want to have? And I think using that idea and that question when we have projects that come to us in our municipalities or within the province of saying, hey, this is great, but what is the end that we kind of want to get to? And what is the actually like big underlining reason behind that? Is it to do like a fancy announcement, or is it to actually like help people substantially in a certain way? So I'll just leave it at that because I could talk about that subject all day. But I just wanted to say thank you so much to you two. And then before I forget, the mystery question, we are going to tie that in. And I know I've been trying to do a lot of reading on top of my master's, but I'm curious for you two, especially under the lens of economic development, but it could be from someplace else. But what is a really impactful book that you have read or listened to through an audio version that has had a big impact on your life and maybe even your career? And I'm not sure if there's a volunteer to go first.
I'll go ahead because I actually have it right beside me. So I would say Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert was really impactful for me. And I think it's because it's about creative living beyond fear. And I think the reason why I love it is it tackles fear and how you address fear. But I find it so applicable to my work. One example I'll just give is that within the book, she talks about how she had this idea for a book. And sometimes you just need to let ideas go and somebody else will execute them. And I think that that's such a powerful idea for when we're feeling overwhelmed. I always listen to podcasts, and at the end of the podcast, I'm like, I want to do this, this, and this, but how do I do it all? I'm already so busy. And I love this idea of being like, oh, I can come up with the idea, but it doesn't mean I need to execute it. Share it. Share it with your change makers in your circle. Share it with your friends. Share it with other professionals. And it might not be you who ultimately sees it come to fruition. It might be a peer or a friend of yours, but the impact's still there and you still get to see it come to life. So yeah, I would say Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert's been really impactful for me.
Cool. I love that. That's great. Sajmina.
For sure. I'm currently reading Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Neiman. And it's been phenomenal for me because I'm someone who thinks really fast and I'm doubting everything about myself. I'm only midway through the book, and the way he talks about thinking fast and thinking slow, it's helping me understand, you know, how easily we fall into biases in terms of when we want to find something, when we want to find solution to something. Like sometimes we just convince our way into thinking that, oh, this is the right pathway. This is a solution to the problem that we are having, but it need not necessarily be true. And I'm just through reading through the book and the thought process is just like mind-blowing. And I'm having a lot of crisis throughout the book as I'm reading it because it's changing the perspective that I've had all along. And I would definitely recommend reading those books because he has decades of experience in psychology. He has a background in economics as well. Like the way he tries to connect everything to the process of thinking is really interesting. And I am someone who believes that thinking is the ultimate core of everything, like whatever actions that we do, whatever thought process that we have, everything is tied to thinking. And when we understand how we think and how others think, it's only going to help us be more clear in navigating a day-to-day world. And I'm thoroughly enjoying the book and I would definitely recommend anyone who is curious about thinking process.
Cool. That's great. And speaking of thinking, are you thinking of anything else in the future, looking at making any moves or opportunities or things along those lines?
Absolutely. I'm trying to transition full-time into economic development. And my experience with EDCO and Bright Ideas have opened a lot of, you know, connections and opportunities for me. And I'm exploring all of those. And I can't wait to connect with a lot more folks that I had an opportunity to speak at the conference. So, you know, definitely looking forward to connect with more and more professionals in the field. And Laura, I would love to speak with you as well. So yeah, overall, both EDCO and Bright Ideas has been a great platform for me to explore things. And I love that my learning has led me through this transition because now I'm definitely interested in pursuing economic development as a profession rather than just practicing it at my work. So it's a really interesting time for me. And yeah, like grateful for this opportunity to be said. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you both for shining so bright. You're definitely an inspiration, not only to me, but I'm sure to other folks. And excited to see who else gets involved with the Bright Eyes competition in the future.
Thanks for having us, Mason. This has been a lot of fun.
Same here. Yeah, hoping that in 5 years, I can come back like Laura and talk about how Bright Ideas changed my life.
Thank you for joining us on Hyperlocal. Real stories, real impact, local solutions, and global perspectives. If today sparked an idea, share it with your network and tag us. If you love today's conversation, hit subscribe, leave a review, and share it with that one person who needs to hear it. Let's keep the momentum going.